name's Michelle O'Rourke. I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project. The date today is the 29th of September 2009, and the time is now 7:22 p.m. Could you tell me your name, your age, and where you're from, please?
My name's Claire Robinson. I'm 43 years old, and I come from Mitchell Dean and the Forest of Dean.
How are you feeling?
Okay.
How did you get here today?
Drove to Gloucester and got a train this morning to Paddington.
Could you tell me a little bit more about what it's like where you come from?
Yeah, well, it's quite interesting, really, because I was thinking I might bring a piece of forest with me, and that would be the poems that I was talking about reading, because they're very much about this very beautiful place. I mean, actually, I'm a southeastern girl, essentially, and I've relocated up to Gloucestershire, but I've kind of taken it on board as my new home, and my partner's a real forester, and my little girl absolutely adores it up there. And so we have kind of embraced forest culture, and they have embraced us too, which is really great. It's very rural. I mean, when I first got there, I couldn't understand why there were no night buses and why all the shops shut at 5 o'clock and things like that. But it's very tranquil, and it's incredibly beautiful. And I think some of the poems that I brought with me reflect that a bit, and they talk about the colour and the different changing of the seasons. There's also relevance here, because apparently, I didn't really realise this, the full link, but apparently Nelson used Forest of Dean oak to build his ships for the Battle of Trafalgar.
How did you find that out?
My parents told me, because they live near Ross-on-Wye, which is actually Wye Valley rather than Forest, but they reckon that Nelson actually was an early Forest of Dean tourist. He loved the area as well, and having taken the oak, he was also very keen to do replanting. So it's thanks to him, in a way, that the forest, you know, there's a kind of culture of sustainability in the forestry out there. Thanks to.
And I think you said you came from the southeast originally.
Well, yeah, I was born near Brighton, and I've lived in London, and I've lived in Kent for a long time, up in Nottinghamshire, down in Devon, back to London, and then over to Gloucestershire. So, but you know, as far as relocating somewhere and feeling at home there, then I would say that about the forest, I think.
Did you feel immediately at home, or did it take a while to get used to it?
Oh no, it took a while. As I say, you know, I couldn't understand a lot about it at first, and I think people found me odd because I didn't have a Gloucestershire accent, and I found them a little bit hard to understand sometimes. It takes a while.
A lot of the people that live there now, are they all grown up in the area?
A lot of them. It constantly astonishes me that people, you know, they don't seem to move away. I've always thought of, you know, when you reach maturity or whatever, you might move away, but a lot of people seem to stay put up there. I kind of see why in some respects, but
yeah. Can you remember how you first heard about the One Another Project?
I think it was through an email at work, actually, from Artichoke, calling for people to join in. But I have heard over the last few years about some of the other sculptures that have been up on the fourth plinth, some of the temporary works that have been here. But I have to say, I haven't consciously seen them. I think I've seen them out of the corner of my eye, but I haven't stopped and looked at them really, really properly.
Why did you think that this might be something that you'd want to be part of?
I do like Anthony Gormley. I do like his work, starting with The Angel of the North, which I saw fairly soon after it had gone up. We had some of his work in Gloucester Cathedral, the one with the little clay, almost like amorphous shapes they were, and they filled the the chancery? I'm hopeless with bits of churches, but I think it was the chancery or something, and they filled that up, and it was lovely. But I've always kind of been, so I was intrigued when I found out that this was his kind of concept. I thought, well, I'll look into that a little bit more. But I think when I put my name down, it was really because I was thinking, Rachel will find this so funny in a few years' time. My mummy was part of this kind of monumental project.
When did you find out you had a place?
I suppose a fair while ago. Beginning of July, I suppose.
How did you feel when you found out?
Shocked. Because I put my name down for it, but I didn't think really any more about it. I didn't think there'd be much chance. I know it was a totally random draw, at least I think, it, as far as I know, it was totally random. So I just, you know, it's one of those things. That'd be really good fun. I will put my name down for it. It's kind of knowing that I won't get picked anyway, so it won't matter. So yes, I was a little bit taken aback, a little bit panic stricken. Yeah.
You mentioned that you heard about it first of all from an artichoke, through work. What is it you do?
Well, I've always been involved in the arts since I, you know, started working properly, really. And I worked for a couple of organisations in Gloucestershire who are arts charities. And we just get so many emails, but this one just came through and just sparked an interest.
Could you tell me a bit more about your role?
Well, essentially now, over the years I've worked as a community artist quite a lot, starting off in East London and moving down into Kent. And then I also kind of took on board doing things like ad-ed tutoring, ad-ed teaching, got a qualification to teach adults, which is what I first did when I moved to Gloucestershire, because it was something I knew I could do, along with the office admin type work, which was regular money, so that was quite good. I got in touch with the Arts Development Officer when I was moving up, and she sent me a list of all the arts providers in Gloucestershire County, which was great, and I sent letters to lots of them. And the two who replied first and sounded the most positive, I still have quite strong links with them, both as a tutor, but also running workshops for children as well, and lots of activities, and I've just finished doing a big mosaic as part of a community project for a children's centre. So quite a wide range of arts projects.
Does your work tend to focus on drawing or painting or
all art forms? A lot of art forms. I mean, my own practice is really mostly drawing and painting, but I teach up to the level that I'm able to in quite a variety of things. I was a bit scared when I read that someone had changed my proposal for a course a little bit and put craft in it. Well, I'm not really a craft teacher particularly, but I can do a bit, so I should be able to do that.
Where do you think your interest in drawing and painting comes from?
I don't know, I've always had it. I don't know, my mum's mum was very artistic, but she was better with a needle and thread, but she could paint as well. My mum always says I'm a lot like my nana. I don't know, I've just always had it.
Well, since you were a child?
Yeah, I would say so.
So did you go off to study?
Yeah, I did, but I did a split degree in art and English because I was interested in theatre as well. And in fact, I started off doing a bit of scenery painting and prop making. And that's how I got into community work, really, because it would often be, you know, at venues where most of the props had to be made by the cast or whatever because the budgets were so small. And so you'd get into doing a bit of prop making and things as well, and that was great. But the idea of working with groups kind of came out of that, I think.
And what was it like working with some of these community groups? Can you give me an idea of the kind of people you'd be working with, the kind of projects you'd
be working with? Well, a lot of the ones that I worked with when I first started doing it, for instance, over in East London, they'd be kind of families, local families. And it was quite nice, really, because you get the parents and children working together sometimes. And you'd be, I suppose, more of a facilitator rather than a teacher in that context. You know, you'd be the one that would go to the scrap store and get the materials that they might need to make their peanut butter costume or whatever it was that they were making. Yeah, it was quite nice. And I remember doing a couple of children's dance performances where I was making the curtains and I'd get the kids to do handprints to make leaf shapes or something like that. And you'd often find that the parents would get involved in those things as well. That was good.
How do you spend your time when you're not working?
Oh, I really love walking in the forest. But most of the time that I'm not working or walking around, I'm looking after Rachel.
How old's Rachel?
She's 8.
What did she say when you told her you were going to do this?
I think she doesn't know whether to be pleased, proud or embarrassed. She's had the day off school today, and I said to her, well, did you tell your friends why you were going? Oh, no. Did you tell your teacher? No.
And who have you told?
I've been quite low-key about it, actually, because, well, I wasn't quite sure how I was going to play it when I first heard. I didn't know, because I'm naturally quite a shy person. I'm not particularly exuberant type person. So I thought, well, either I should tell nobody at all and just do it just for me to be part of this project, or I should tell everyone, but I've ended up kind of doing something a little bit in between, I suppose. But I have asked a few people to watch me tonight, and my mum and dad did come with me today.
Where
so,
did they come down from?
Well, they live in Ross-on-Wye, just near Ross-on-Wye, which is kind of why Rachel and I moved up that way a few years ago. So they picked us up and drove us to Gloucester, and we all got the train together. But for them, like me, really, it's also an excuse to spend the day in London, because we all love London.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the poems, subject matter of the poems that you're going to be reading?
Oh, yes. One of them is Boys from the Hill, which seems to have a kind of relevance as well, in the sense that this is Peace Week, isn't it? And this is a kind of a memory of some young lads from a village in the forest called Ruadeen who go off to war and don't come back. And then 40 years on, another lot go off to war and don't come back. And it's kind of the cycle of it. It's actually the focus of it is one dies at Goose Green, which is clearly Falklands, isn't it? But it could be relevant for any war, really. And it's just quite a nice thing. And it seemed quite poignant, especially this week being Peace Week, and perhaps thinking about, again, about all the lives lost and stuff like that. Another one, a comedy one, is about a couple from London who buy a holiday home in the Forest of Dean. Things aren't quite what they seem, and they sell it after a few years. And then I wasn't sure, there's a book that a neighbour has written, well, he's a neighbour of Martin's really, has written about Mitchell Dean, and it's quite just very fact-based, but I was going to perhaps refer it to it now and then, because there are some quite interesting things about the history of Mitchell Dean village, which I might refer to. We're trying to set up an arts project in Mitchell Dean at the moment, actually.
What kind of arts project?
Well, I had an exhibition there in Martin's hairdressing salon a few weeks ago, and the most unexpected people came in, which was brilliant to see it. I mean, I'd invited people from the arts organisations that I work for, and a couple came along, but not many. It was actually more villagers that came in, and I think they were intrigued that the hairdressers was having an art exhibition. It's a fairly unexpected and unusual thing in Mitchell Dean anyway. So we had quite a high turnout of local people coming through the door, and a lot of them saying, oh, we wish we had more of this kind of thing in Mitchell Dean. You know, why don't we do this more? So that's kind of one of the things I'm hoping might come out of this, actually.
Did they find out about the exhibition in passing? How did they do that?
Well, Marty put his sign outside the salon, and somebody had made me some flyers. We put flyers out in the doorway and flyers on the A-board. But a lot of it was word of mouth, I think, in the pubs and the shops. And we didn't really do any door-to-door leafleting, so, yeah. But I think the A-frames worked quite well outside, yeah.
What kind of work were you showing
there? It was mostly landscapes, but it was quite a mixture, because I haven't actually exhibited paintings and drawings for quite a while, not really, not on my own, since leaving Kent anyway, which is a few years ago. So there was quite a range in terms of, you know, when they were produced and the materials used, which in a way I think was quite a good thing, because it showed a range of different ways of looking at portraying things.
Is it quite a small artistic community where you are? I mean, do you feel quite isolated there, or is it, you know, is
that... Oh, well, the brilliant thing about the exhibition, I knew there were other artists in Mitchell Dean, it's just I don't particularly know them, because most of us work outside of the village. But it was brilliant to get to meet some of them. And yeah, I always have to travel for work otherwise, even if it's only 4 miles to local town.
So just coming back to the...
Oh, sorry. See what I mean about needing those throat sweets?
They're on their way.
It's talking makes it worse, isn't it? Sorry.
Who's written these poems? There was a poet that you mentioned before we started.
Dick Bryce. Well, he's somebody that I went to see. He came and did a gig at Mitchell Dean Community Centre about 5 or 6 years ago. And he's kind of a local folk performer, songwriter, poet. He is fairly well regarded, and he's got quite a big following in the forest. But he lives in between me and my parents, and funny enough, his wife is enrolled on one of my classes, so that was a bit of a way in as well. And so I introduced myself and asked him if it would be all right to use his material. He said, yeah, as long as you acknowledge me, that's fine. But he's also hopefully going to support the things that I would like to do for Mitchell Dean too.
Would you like to expand that a little bit, the things that you're hoping to do for Mitchell Dean?
Well, we would like to do some more exhibitions, whether they're my work or I'm hoping there might be other artists. But, you know, you always need funding to set up an exhibition, the time and the materials and everything. It's never as straightforward as you think. I think Martin found that out with mine. So to give local artists the opportunity to exhibit in the salon would be great. It's bang in the middle of the village. It's a great location. And, you know, art in unexpected places is quite trendy these days, isn't it? So, yeah. But also, several people said they'd quite be interested in classes as well. So again, whether that would be me as teacher or bringing in somebody else, I don't really know. We'd have to do a little bit more consultation on what exactly it is they want to do. But the intention is just to get draw out people's creativity. It started the conversations during and after the exhibition, you know, oh, I used to do that years ago, but there isn't really anywhere to go, is there, for that kind of thing. Well, let's try and make somewhere for people to go.
Do you like taking that responsibility on organising?
I don't mind. It's very hard work sometimes. And
will it happen if you don't do it?
In this case, I doubt it. There's been nothing that I've been aware of particularly. I've been there nearly 7 years now. I don't know. People are so caught up in their lives, aren't they? Everyone's so busy. I think it does, you know, take someone to have an idea and then have the time to follow it. I haven't had the time in the last few years to actually do it. I mean, it's something that I've been wanting to do for a while, living in Mitchelding. You know, wouldn't it be great to do something on the doorstep and involve the local community in a project? How fab would that be? But haven't really had the means to do it, but I'm in that situation a little bit more now, so I'd quite like to go for it.
Are there lots of people with holiday homes in that area?
Well, not in Mitcheldean, no, I don't think so. Probably further into the forest and on the... there are some beautiful parts around Mitcheldean, some of the hills and as the writer who... wrote the guidebook to Mitcheldean says, you know, it's got some beautiful panoramic views. There's a wonderful view up the hill across the River Severn to the Cotswolds. You can see for miles and miles into the horseshoe bend of the river as it flows round. But Mitcheldean itself isn't particularly a tourist hotspot, I wouldn't say. But there are other places in the forest that certainly are. And it's the small miner cottages, the old miners' cottages that are right in rural Forest of Dean that have, a lot of them have been converted and sold off as holiday homes.
Do you have any reservations about doing this tonight?
It's pretty scary, isn't it?
What's scary about it from your point of view?
Just putting yourself in the public eye, really. I mean, I know it's not the same as I don't know, I'm not going to go on there with a loud hailer and try and draw everybody's attention to myself particularly. So it's not quite the same as that. But, you know, I'm just quite a shy person, and it's not like my mum, the three words that you have to say about yourself on the profile, I didn't know what to put, so I asked my mum. She said unpredictable, because she just thinks this is very unlikely to do something like this, because I usually wouldn't put myself up for it. So unpredictable. But yeah, I do find it quite scary. I'm not particularly scared, I don't think, about the height or the narrowness of the plinth. I don't think that particularly bothers me. I might, in daylight, it might be. I don't know what it would be like in the dark. I'll find out in a minute, won't I?
You're looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Well, thanks for the opportunity, really.
Thank you very much.